Yeah.
Good idea.
Share with yourself.
Ladies and gentlemen, with that gavel, I have convened the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development. We are gathered today, May the 3rd, 2017, for the purpose of a work session on Senate Bill 5512, the Department of Consumer and Business Services. Whoops. We just lost our trusty staff.
Apologize. Chair Johnson, members of the subcommittee, today we're doing work session on the Senate Bill 5512. This is for the Department of Consumer and Business Services, and I'll just get right into it. First, you have on OLIS a number of documents, including the LFO recommendation, the document on key performance measures, and the recommended amendment. So beginning with the first document, which is the LFO recommendation, for the Department of Consumer and Business Services, you've got an LFO recommended all funds budget of $467,635,248, 952 positions, with 945.92 FTE. That's about a three-tenths of 1% increase over the legislatively approved budget for 15-17. Beginning at the current service level, which includes a number of adjustments, including the removal of one-time funding and limited duration positions, inflationary factors that applied, shift of funding to fee revenues from federal grant because federal grants were ending in the insurance programs, and a number of small technical adjustments. Beginning at current service level, we have the adjustments to the budget as recommended by the LFO. And we can go through this page by page through the Orbitz report that's attached to your recommendation. But I think what I'll do first is I'll give you an overview, and then we can go through any individual items that may be of concern.
I think let's do that. We'll have the overview, and I particularly would like to call the committee's attention to the budget note. And so if you just want to proceed with the overview, that would be great.
Thank you. So there are two items that were included in the governor's budget that have been removed in the LFO recommendation, and those were POPs 91 and 92, and those POPs dealt with state government service charges, DAS administrative charges, AG fees, and so forth and so on. Those aren't included in the LFO recommendation, and those are anticipated to be included in an omnibus budget reconciliation bill at the end of the session. So there'll be some adjustments to this agency's budget done in that bill for those purposes. Included in the LFO recommendation are the POP 090, which are CFO analyst adjustments, as recommended the governor's budget, with a couple little modifications. The first one is in the marketplace division, and in the marketplace division, it's a reduction of $9.9 million other funds limitation, and that includes $6 million for IT professional service contracts, $1.5 million in telecommunications contracts, and $2.4 million in other funds expenditure limitation for attorney general fees. And that's primarily to wrap up any kind of lingering issues with the transition from Cover Oregon to the health insurance marketplace, and also to deal with the resolution of the Cover Oregon litigation. And the other adjustment, the other 090 adjustment that was included in the governor's budget, that's also included in the LFO, is a reduction in the central services division, which eliminates two permanent full-time accounting, three tech positions. Those are being transferred. Well, I shouldn't say the positions are being transferred, but the function is being transferred to the Department of Administrative Services to provide payroll services. POP 801, which is only impacts the health insurance marketplace, is an adjustment from the LFO, and that just removes $200,000 of expenditure authority and revenue transfer that was erroneously placed in the current service level budget. And then POP 812 is a policy option package to remove vacant positions throughout the agency, and that impacts the Workers' Compensation Board, the Central Services Division, and the Division of Financial Regulation. At the Workers' Compensation Board, it removes one position These are all long-term vacant positions. It's a single office specialist 2 position, making a reduction of $112,162 of other funds limitation. In the central services division, there's 4 positions that are removed for a total of $503,526,000. There's one position is an office specialist 1, 1 accounting tech 3, and 1 human resources analyst 3 position. And I guess that is, it's 4 positions, 3 FTE. And in the Division of Financial Regulation, there's 1 position for $163,017 other funds, and that eliminates a single investigator 3 position that was held open due to a lack of workload or an indeterminate amount of workload. POP 814 is the IT securities position consolidation. This removes 1 position and funding for 1.5 FTE to consolidate information technology security functions to the Department of Administrative Services by executive order. And the total reduction there is just over $400,000. We can get in detail if need be. POP 101 is a package that was requested to expand the OSHA program, the Oregon OSHA program, and this package provides $1.883 million in other funds expenditure limitation to fund 9 positions. It's 8.88 FTE in the current biennium, but it'll roll up to 9 FTE in subsequent biennium. This will allow the department to hire 6 enforcement positions and 3 workplace consultant positions. The goal of the additional positions is to increase the workplace presence of OSHA within the state so that they can maintain or reduce the rate of workplace injuries and illnesses, which have recently leveled off after a long period of decline. But the agency, DCBS, hopes to continue that trend of either continued decline or at least a no increase. POP 102 is in the Marketplace Division. This is for the COFA Islanders. This is the Compact of Free Association Islanders. This provides, let me give you a total amount. This provides $1,383,290 of other funds and 1 limited duration position. These funds were phased out of the current service level after 15-17, but were part of, they're basically the leftover funds that were in the COFA fund. And so what we're doing is we're just transferring those from 15-17 into 17-19. And it restores the expenditure authority for the program. These monies were originally general fund monies that were transferred into the program during the 2016 session. And the package allows for the agency to cover the residual cost of insurance premiums and adding out-of-pocket expenses for these folks. And you've got about 300 participants in the program right now. POP 103 and POP 104 that were included in the governor's budget are not included in the LFO recommendation.
Thank you. Colleagues, any questions of Mr. Steiner? Senator Hanson.
Matt, is this on the old list, what you just covered?
Madam Chair, Senator Hansel, yes, it is. If you look through the document that's attached along with the in the LFO recommendation, it looks like this. I'll hold this up so everyone can see.
Oh, okay.
And each one of these is divided. This goes through page by page with each division, and you can tell the division. It has the title of the division in the upper right-hand corner. And in here where there's a policy option package, there's a page that describes, it has the policy option package number, and makes a description and shows the total dollar amount.
But yeah. You will not, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Steiner, you will not find the document that he was reading from. He has taken an amalgam of all of the changes, and those are his working notes to do the presentation.
Madam Chair, that's correct, although I will say that most of that is contained in the documentation for each.
Summary. I was trying to get the summary.
Yeah. I could probably clean that up and send that to you.
That'd be a big help. The other question I have, overall, you said it was the department itself was 0.3% increase. What about personnel? What are we, the difference between current and projected?
So if Madam Chair, Senator Hansel, if you look at this page one of the LFO work session presentation report, you have the last two columns are positions and FTE, and you can see that the change from the current service level is a 0.2% increase. Two positions are 1.38 FTE. And the change from the current, from the legislatively approved budget is a negative eight positions, a reduction of eight positions, and a reduction of 6.84 FTE.
Before we start taking motions, just as a courtesy to Mr. Allen, do you have any response, any comment, anything you'd like to add? I just offer this as a courtesy.
Happy to answer questions you might have, but I'm good.
Okay. Colleagues, any questions of Mr. Allen? Senator, or Representative Rudin.
Please take this just as a question to help my learning process. So I'm looking at back at page one, and we look at the FTE just across the board. And so it has the actual for 2013 to 15 versus recommended for the upcoming biennium. And I would read that as about, 32 additional people. So am I, can somebody help frame that for me, how that works? If I go to from 913 actual to 945.92 recommended, is that big, huge jump in people?
Madam Chair,
please.
Representative Reardon, if you're reading from left to right at the bottom, mm-hmm. in the bottom of this table, FTE, you go from 913.68 FTE actual in the 13-15 biennium to a recommended 945.92 in the 17-19 biennium. And so what happens is there's in the 2011 session, there were a number of legislative actions that ended up resulting in the number of FTE in 2013-15. And then in the 13 session, there were a number of legislative actions that carried over into 15-17, which is the legislatively approved, along with actions that happened legislatively during the interim. But what you see here may not necessarily reflect a sudden growth for no particular reason, is what I'm getting at. Most of these had been vetted through committees, whether it be this committee or an interim committee or the emergency board. All of these positions have been vetted through there. And if you'd like, what we can do, if you have some time to swing by my office, we can go through each one of those changes, or I'm sure that the agency would be glad to walk.
I'm looking again and more carefully, and I'm seeing actually a decrease from 15-17 to the current biennium in a total number from legislative approved in that year down to a decrease over the last 2 years. So
that's great.
Okay, thank you everybody for your patience.
And if I could just quickly add one.
We would welcome Mr. Allen. Please identify yourself.
Patrick Allen, Director of the Department of Consumer and Business Services. Over that four-year window that Mr. Stainer referred to, the biggest thing to remember is that you added the functions of Cover Oregon to the agency about 30 positions to deal with that. So you would see fluctuate. There are any number of puts and takes that occur over various budgets, but that would be a fairly large and anomalous one that would have occurred in that window.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Hansel.
Yeah, that. What year did we add that to you?
Seems forever ago. I believe that was in the 2011-13. It was 15. It took effect in 15, and it was in the short session at the beginning of, it was in the regular session beginning of 15 that Senator Lund passed.
30 positions. Or 50, what'd you say?
I want to say 30 positions, including some temporary positions that expired earlier in the biennium. It's now a net in that function of about 20 positions. Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions of Mr. Allen before he departs the stage? Thank you, Mr. Allen. Yeah. All right. Mr. Stainer, the only thing that we have not covered is the budget note, if you wouldn't mind, or do you want to wait and do that when we get down farther into the motions. I'm happy to have you do it now or wait as we move along.
Madam Chair, I'd be glad to go to read the budget note, but we do have to take action on it. So if you wanted to talk about
just
it.
Just do it in the normal course of business then. Okay. So the chair would at this point be looking for a motion. Co-chair Gomberg.
Oh, thank you, Co-Chair. I move the LFO recommendations to Senate Bill 5512.
Colleagues, you have heard the motion. Any questions? Any discussion? Any objections? Okay, so ordered. We would now move to performance measures. Mr. Stainer.
Madam Chair, the second item, or I guess the third item on OLIS that you have in front of you is the key performance measures. This report shows the key performance measures as recommended by the LFO. There are three new performance measures that were proposed, and there are four performance measures that are proposed to delete. Three of these replace, these three new ones replace actually all four of them, as two of the ones that are proposed to delete, six and seven, work hand in hand with the requested new KPM number six. These were gone over in some detail during the work session. I can, if there's specific questions, I can either handle those or we can go through each one and talk about maybe just the changes.
Let's just cover the changes, if you don't mind. I'm sure. Wondering if this type could be any smaller.
Sure, I apologize. It's very difficult. Okay. The first two KPMs are KPMs 1 and 2, and these are being proposed to be eliminated in favor of the new KPMs 1 and 2, although just to confuse you, I'm sure, that we've flipped them. So KPM 1 being eliminated is in favor of KPM 2 that's proposed, and KPM 2 that's being eliminated is in favor of KPM 1 that's being proposed.
You did that on purpose.
I did not do this. I have no idea, actually, how that got into the system that way. But in any case, the financial service entities, the old KPM, reflected, as discussed during the agency presentation, that was a very narrow KPM that only reflected the performance of those entities that DCBS performed examination on, as opposed to all DCBS financial entities that they regulated. And so it only gave you a very narrow performance of a certain issues. The KPM number two broadens that and allows that to look at all of their licensed financial service entities. Now, KPM two that's being released, that's being requested to delete and replace with KPM one. KPM two had an implicit bias toward providing a customer with some kind of valuable consideration as a definition of relief. And the reason that was a problem is because sometimes that wasn't the appropriate end to a complaint or an inquiry. And so the new KPM 1 measures a time to resolution, whether that resolution provides some kind of compensatory value to the customer or not. So KPM number six, which the agency program proposed to delete and replace with the new KPM six, the old measure compares injured workers who complete reemployment programs with injured workers who do not. It's systematically skewed since the program participants are often the most difficult to reemploy from the total population of disabled workers. And the new KPM looks at the overall reemployment of disabled workers versus non-disabled workers to get a better sense of the ability to get disabled workers back to work. So, this is a broadening of the agency's performance rather than looking at something narrow that may not be indicative of the agency's actual performance. So, any of the other changes were KPM number 7, which the agency proposed to delete. There is no replacement proposed for this, but it has the exact same issues and measures the same population as the old KPM 6.
Colleagues, any questions of Mr. Stainer? Again, Mr. Allen, anything you'd like to comment on? Declining? Okay. then I think we're ready to move into the next set of motions, Co-Chair.
Well, then I would move the LFO recommendation on key performance measures.
Colleagues, you have heard Co-Chair Gomberg's motion. Any questions? Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Mr. Stainer.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee. Our last item to consider here is a budget note, and this budget note relates to the COFA Islander Premium Assistance Program, and I'll just read it verbatim for the record. The expenditure limitation included in the agency's budget for the Premium Assistance Program for Low-Income Compact of Free Association Islanders is provided with the understanding that the agency will use the available funding to provide the full benefits outlined in the program to the program participants for as long as monies are available. Based on the estimated program costs provided by DCBS prior to program implementation, the available funding is sufficient to provide full benefits for the entire benefit for the entire biennium based on the number of currently enrolled participants. If at some time during the biennium DCBS should determine that the funding will not be sufficient to continue providing full benefits to participants, the agency should not diminish a portion or ration benefits prior to seeking additional program funding from the legislature. Additionally, the agency is instructed to evaluate and pursue the availability of federal funding for this program.
And colleagues, I think the thought here was to treat the folks affected by the COFA legislation fairly and appropriately and make sure that there would be no diminution of benefit as we move through the biennium. Co-Chair Gomberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the LFO recommendation on budget notes.
Colleagues, you have heard Co-Chair Gomberg's motion with respect to the budget note for the COFA Islander Premium Assistance Program. Any questions? Any discussion? Any objections? The budget note is adopted. Mr. Co-Chair.
Then, Madam Co-Chair, I would move adoption of the -1 amendments to Senate Bill 5512.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion. Any questions? Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And then we need carriers.
No, we need the final motion.
I mean the final motion. I'm sorry. I'm looking right at it here. Co-Chair Gomberg.
Thank you, Co-Chair. I would move Senate Bill 5512 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion. Any questions? Any discussion? Any objections? Okay, there being none. Senate Bill 5512 moves to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. 5512 as amended moves to the full committee with a due pass recommendation, and we need carriers. Any volunteers? Senator Hansel volunteers to full and to the Senate, and do we have a House volunteer?
Sure.
Representative Erden volunteers.
I'm getting lots of support, right?
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
Only a few surprises.
Hansel's full end to the floor.
Yeah. Hansel is full end floor. Yes. Senator Hansel is
Thank you very much.
All right, colleagues, that concludes our business on DCBS. Mr. Stainer, do you have anything else for us today?
I do not.
Good. Colleagues, it should be noted we've moved another budget. It's May the 3rd. We've moved another budget, which is a good thing.
That's great.
We have nothing from Mr. Stainer. Anything from any of the committee? There being none, we're adjourned.
Next to you.